and I searched the world, but he couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together, and every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and faults. Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. Thank you, Lord. 'Cause the God of the mountains is the God of the valley. There's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. You turn mourning to dancing, you give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who cares. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who cares. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who cares. You're Praise God. Pastor Grady, could you come out, Pastor Grady? Oh, you're here. Man, could you gather around Tom after singing that song? I felt now's the time. Tom, just sit right there. You too, brother. Brother Nate, get over there, man. Late, just put your hands on. It's just a prayer. Okay. Ned, if you can turn the house mic on. Oh, you going up there? Okay. Okay.
There you go.
Well, I carried it. I didn't bring it.
Father, we come right now in the name of Jesus. And I just thank you for my brother Tom. I thank you for Barb. I thank you that they're here this morning. Lord, we just come standing in agreement right now. We come praying that you would remove this diagnosis, this cancer that's been seen. I pray it would be gone in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, for healing for Tom. And from everything Tom is going through, Lord. Every bit of this disease has been in his body. I just pray right now, Lord, that you do the powerful, powerful move in the name of Jesus. I just pray you just pour out your spirit on him, in him, through him, and wash this completely out of him. And Lord, we come knowing that you can. The song that we just sang, we know, Lord, you can. Nothing but you. Only you can. And we believe. We come believing this morning, Lord, that you have Tom in the palm of your hand.
Yes, sir.
We come believing this morning that you are doing a miracle for us, yes, and for him and for this body, and that you be glorified in it, Lord. We're praying that you be glorified in what's going on and what's going to happen here, Lord. But we come right now, and I pray that you give him the peace that surpasses all understanding. I pray you remove any fear, any doubt. I pray that you remove any anxiety. And I pray right now, Lord, that you just pour over him everything that you have for him in the name of Jesus. Everything that you have for him in the name of Jesus. And Tom, I just want you to know that you're not alone. You got a family that's going to be right here with you, and God is right here with you, and we're going to continue to pray, and we're going to continue to believe that God is doing some miraculous work in you right now. Do you believe?
Yes.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you so much. And we do have this peace, Lord, in our own hearts. And we just thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen.
Tony, sit down. We're going to pray for you next. Before we come, we lift up Tony to you. We know that he's been down and out, and the doctors can't figure it out. None of the doctors can figure out what's going on with him. God, you've already got it figured out. I just pray right now that you do the same for him, that you pour into him the Spirit of God, the healing Spirit of God, to bring him into a total and new place in his life, Lord. I just pray that you would bring this, whatever this is, out of his body. Mm-hmm. It's been stirring up so many different things and manifesting in different ways, and we come against it, yes, and we stand against it right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I pray for healing. I pray that you remove this from his body, and he be restored. That his legs are strengthened, mm-hmm, that his breathing is restored, that his lungs are restored, that whatever's in his sinuses, in his nasal and in his lungs, it be removed. I pray, Lord, for whatever's causing the blood sugar to drop, whatever's causing the heart to hurt, whatever's going on in that body, Lord, I pray right now that you just pour into him and bring healing in the name of Jesus. I pray you heal this man. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you're the only one that can.
Yes, Jesus.
It's been proven the doctors don't know what to do. They've tried this, they've tried that, and they keep going back to the same old methods. But Lord, we're coming with a new method this morning. We're coming with the healing power of the Holy Spirit to touch this man's body and bring healing to him. We believe. Tony, do you believe?
Yes, I do.
Amen. And receive it in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You were the Word at the beginning.
beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. And nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. And nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Death could not hold you. The veil torn before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have no rival, and you have no equal. Now and forever our God reigns. Yours is a kingdom, and yours is a glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. And nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. You have no rival, and you have no equal. Now and forever our God reigns. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. And nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
you feel the world is broken?
We do.
Do you feel the shadows deepen?
We do.
But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light we're from getting through?
We do.
Do you wish that you could see it all made new?
We do.
Is all creation groaning?
It is.
Is a new creation coming?
It is.
Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst?
It is.
Is it good that we remind ourselves of this?
It is.
Is anyone worthy?
Is anyone whole?
Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this?
He is.
Does the Father truly love us?
He does.
Does the Spirit move among us?
He does.
And does Jesus, our Messiah, hold forever those he loves?
He does.
Does our God intend to dwell again with us?
He does.
Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. From every people and tribe,
every people and tribe,
every nation and tongue,
every nation and tongue,
he has made us a kingdom and priests to God to reign with the Son. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Is he worthy of this? He is. He is. Is he worthy? Is he worthy? He is. He is. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is.
Hallelujah. 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 Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. He who was and is to come. Blessing and honor. Blessed be his name. Bless you. Praise you, Lord. Praise to you. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of a blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? He is. He is. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is. He is. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is. He is. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is. We praise you, Lord. We praise you. For the healing, one day true healing, we'll see you face to face. Hallelujah. True healing. Every scar will be gone except yours. Thank you. Every scar will be removed except yours. Thank you, Lord. Praise be to your name, Lord Jesus.
The signs of the times are here, and trouble is everywhere. The planet is full of fear, and we're tempted to despair.
Hold on, we must hold on.
Listen for the midnight. the times are here, and trouble is everywhere. The planet is full of fear, and we're tempted to despair.
Hold on, we must hold on. Jesus, come
with power and might.
Lord Jesus, come
and make things right.
Lord Jesus, come
fill the whole world with your love, truth and light.
Lord Jesus, come
with power and might.
Lord Jesus, come
and make things right.
Lord Jesus, come
fill the whole world with your love, truth.
Lord Jesus, come.
Maranatha,
hallelujah. Maranatha, Lord Jesus, come. Maranatha, hallelujah. Maranatha, Lord Jesus, come.
Maranatha, hallelujah. Maranatha, Lord Jesus, come. Maranatha, hallelujah. Maranatha,
Lord Jesus, come.
With power and might,
Lord Jesus, come.
And make things right,
Lord Jesus,
come. Fill the whole world with your love, truth and light.
Lord Jesus, come. Jesus, come.
Maranatha, hallelujah. Maranatha, Lord Jesus, come.
Can we all please stand? Oh, amen. You've been so kind, Lord Jesus.
Our readings from John chapter 17, verses 21 through 23. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and had loved them as you have loved me. Amen. You may be seated. And we get to dismiss our kids.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see y'all here this morning. Welcome, everyone. Welcome those online. The Spirit is moving today. The Spirit is with us today. And He's not done yet. He's going to teach us this morning. He's going to give us substance from His Word. And we're going to receive that in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank You for Your presence. We thank You for Your Spirit. We thank You for Your Word. I thank You, Lord, that You have spoken to us this morning. I thank You, Lord, that we have prayed for healing, and I believe that that healing will be received. And we thank You, Lord, that in all things You're to be glorified, whether we feel it or whether we don't, whether we see it with our eyes or whether we hear it with our ears or we don't. It's You are still as real to us as real gets. You're all that we have. You are our substance. So this morning, Lord, we just come and we just pour our hearts out to You that You may pour into us. We come humbly. We come, Lord, desiring you above all things. Speak to our hearts. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, if you'll open to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Our title this morning is God Always Has the Last Word. So last week, we looked intently at the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't need hype. We don't need persuasion. We just need to submit to the Holy Spirit's leading and get out of His way. And that's pretty much what He wants from all of His people, that we come as willing vessels, nothing more. We hear from the Holy Spirit, we learn from the Holy Spirit, and we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. And notice it's all God, and it's all His power. It's never ours. There's power in the simplicity of the gospel when the Holy Spirit is the one speaking through you. And we talked on this verse briefly yesterday in our men's group, but when the Holy Spirit is in control, He will speak what needs to be spoken through you. Jesus told the disciples, He said, listen, when they haul you into court, when they bring you before all the magistrates and they're making all these accusations, He said, don't be afraid of what you're going to say. And don't worry about what to say. The Holy Spirit Himself will speak and tell you what to say. Well, it goes beyond the courtroom. It is in the present day within every believer today. We have the ability and the power to receive all that He has if we're willing to get out of the way and just listen and let Him speak what He wants to speak, how He wants to speak, and what He has to speak. It's the Spirit speaking through us. And we saw the Greek word for power in our study last week is dunamis, which is a forceful, miraculous power. And in order to tap into this power, we have to be submissive and obedient to Him. And stop using man's worldly wisdom and man's schemes to try to do His work. We don't need them. We don't need any of that. Psalm 66, 1 through 3 says, make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works through the greatness of your power. Your enemies shall submit themselves to you. And in Psalm 68, 32 through 35, we read, sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises to the Lord, Selah, to Him who rides on the heaven of heavens, which were of old. Indeed, He sends out His voice, a mighty voice. Ascribe strength to God. His excellence is over Israel, and His strength is in the clouds. Oh God, you are awesome than your holy places. You are more awesome than your holy places. The God of Israel is He who gives strength and power to His people. Blessed be God. Notice it says, you're more awesome than your holy places. It's not the building. It's not the place you go to worship. It's the heart that you come with to where He is. Because He is, and it's His power. And in both of these passages, make a joyful shout and sing to God. It should be coming from the inward part of our beings of praise and worship and thanksgiving to the God who is. Not the God we necessarily want Him to be sometimes, but the God who is, because He is. And when we come to this understanding and we come to the end of ourselves and come to Him with a heart of praise and thanksgiving, His power is released in us to accomplish His plan through us. We're just willing vessels. Now, in this week's message, Paul addresses the maturity of the church, building on the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And while each of us may have a different role or a different call, the focus is not on us, but it's on Jesus, it's on the gospel. So let's begin, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able, for you're still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. And as we have read, and we'll touch on again, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So Paul first addresses the spiritual maturity of the church. If there's envy, strife, division among the church, it's because of carnality. It's because of self-centeredness. It's because of the desires that we have versus surrendering to the desires of the Lord. It's the focus should be on God, not the things of God, not the men of God, not the messengers, but the message. That should be the focus. And Paul first addressed this back in chapter 1 regarding not elevating men or focusing on men. And we have the same issue in the church today. Many are fed with milk, but haven't grown to where they can take on the solid food. In other words, they're not maturing. They've kind of come to a place where, yeah, they've received Jesus. They understand the simplicity of the gospel, but they just want then that to be kind of set over here, and then they want to start thinking about these other things. Rather than keeping Jesus the main thing, it now becomes about other things. And they begin to just settle. And maturity is pushed aside. Now Hebrews 5, 12 through 14 says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. This was a verse I was looking for yesterday in the men's thing. I didn't even realize it was in the message. I'm focusing in tunnel vision sometimes. Full of age. Now that doesn't mean years, chronological age. Full of age means those who are pouring their spirit out and emptying themselves to God, those who are using their senses, they're being exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, unfortunately, this is where many believers find themselves. They could be Christians for years. They could be well learned about in Scripture. I mean, they may know and memorize Scriptures. But this is where they find themselves. Now, for some, it's because they don't want to grow beyond the religious aspect of their faith. It's a religion to them still. It's a thing. It's a part of their life. It's not their being. It's not their whole life. They don't want to grow beyond this religious aspect. It's just what they do, not who they are. And this is a big, big thing to understand, because there are many, many believers where it's the thing they do. They go to church on Sunday, or they go on Wednesday, or they take their discipline to do this and do that. They serve maybe here and serve maybe there, whatever it might be. But it's what they do. It's not who they are. See, there's a difference. Who you are in Christ is rooted in your relationship with Christ. What you do in Christ should come from that relationship. It should be an extension of the relationship. It should never come before the relationship or in place of the relationship or be something that you just come to say, well, this is what I do. This is, you know, what Christians are. And again, this is a problem within the body of Christ because there's a lot of religiousness going on out here, a lot of religiosity, if you will. Now, for others, it's not because they've settled into this. It's just because they haven't been taught differently. They've been taught this is what it's about. You have to be in church. You got to be there. I mean, I've been years and years in the making. I've heard those things saying, if you're not in church, you're in sin. If you're not sitting on the pew on Sunday morning or in your chair, if you're not here every time the door opens, if you're not doing everything that needs to be done, if you're not signing up on the list that we give you of all the needs we have, then you're not walking in a relationship with God. You're just not right. Well, that's bogus. It should never be about those things. It's about the relationship that we have with Jesus. So if they've never been taught, they're raised in this environment. Well, mom and daddy went to that church, so I go to that church. Matter of fact, I was born in that church. My mom went to labor on the back row. I was born in that church. This is my church. And when you start with that mentality, you grow up, you become a deacon, and oh, you're all in trouble. No, not down on all deacons, don't get me wrong. But sometimes deacon boards have way too much power. Because it's not about the relationship with Jesus, it's about the position that they have. I remember in the business world, I worked in the corporate world for a long time in sales, and I had corporate clients. And the worst thing in the world that could ever happen in a corporation is when they bring a new vice president in. Because vice president means that they're still somewhere in the middle and they have to prove something. And they every time would make a change. The last guy would come in, get everything all uprooted, get it all torn up. We finally get them settled. I would retrain them because this is what I would have to do. Seriously, they come in. They didn't know what was going on. I have to go in and meet with the new vice president, tell them how things are done over here, how we've been doing things. They would make some little simple change over here so they can put it on their resume. We finally settle back in just long enough for a new one to come in. We're going to do it all over again. And this is the power that men think they have, they think they need. Well, it doesn't just happen in the corporate world. It happens in the body of Christ too. When you get a title, sometimes that title then sometimes raises that pride up a little bit. Well, now I have to do something. I can't just come in and serve. I've got a title. That means I've got to do something different. I got to make a change. Well, and so trouble starts because they're not seeking the Lord. They're not seeking His direction. They're just taking that power and that control. And messages today, a lot of times from the pulpit, they're getting watered down not to offend anybody. So if you're not there to give the full counsel of God's Word and you're holding back, people aren't being taught what it really means to be in relationship with Jesus. They're not being taught the Word. And they can't grow because of malnutrition. And the Word of God is our nutrition. If you're holding back, people aren't being fed. When ministers of God are making it all about themselves, or when the people make it all about the ministers themselves, carnality soon follows. Now, Paul makes it clear in these verses that each one has a different role. And each role, when submitted to the Lord, should work side by side with the other one and their role. There shouldn't be a conflict. Now, personalities bring conflict, but the gifts of God should not. So what that tells us is if you have a strong-willed personality, you're an A-type personality, and somebody else is more laid back in their personality, and both of them have a gift from God, the fleshly nature should die and allow that gifting to be used in both of those people, and they should never come to a point where they butt heads. But that A personality sometimes is going to try to control things. And the other personality, while they don't push back, they hold grudges. They bury it. So you got those that'll confront, and you got those that'll bury it, and the next thing you know, you got conflict. because nobody is actually submitting to the Lord with it. And sometimes you have to understand that God will use somebody with a strong personality to accomplish what needs to be accomplished in the moment. But you also have to understand sometimes he wants that one with the less strong personality to deal with the situation because he's got something that he wants to accomplish. And neither should ever conflict with one another. But they do. There should be unity in the body in the different roles. Here he says in verse 6, he said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Neither one of them took it upon themselves to say, look what we did and look what we're doing. So neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God gives the increase. Now we know that Paul's role as an apostle was to the Gentiles. That's what God told him. I'm going to make you an apostle to the Gentiles. And you're going to go, and on these missionary journeys, you're going to plant churches. So Paul planted. That's what he did. Apollos' role was to water. He watered the church with the water of the Word. And he cultivated the church to grow in the Lord. Peter's role was an apostle to the Jewish believers. And it took a lot for him. He had to go into the trance to really understand that you can get outside of this little realm. And he still dealt with it sometimes in his flesh. Paul had to call him out one time because he would come. And when none of the other Jewish believers would come with him, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when the other Jews came with him, he would separate himself from the Gentiles. Paul called him out on it. Said, hey, this is not right. You know, we're all one body. We're all in Christ together. It should not be this separation. So even the men of God have issues from time to time. No one, as long as we're in this fleshly tent, is going to ever get it all right. But God brings the increase in spite of ourselves sometimes. But these men with these roles were walking in obedience to their call, and there was no division in Christ. Division only comes when Jesus is no longer the focus. It could be a man. It could be legalism. It could be a doctrine that's been built on one verse and they don't understand the context of that verse, so it's all out of context all the way around. But unless it's about Jesus, division will come and man will mess it up. It's inevitable. And it's been proven. This is the early church we're reading about. And it's been going on ever since. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 14. Says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for what? The profit of all. Not the profit of one, but of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. This really is so important to understand. Because I know Paul tells us we're to pray for the gifts. We're to pray to receive all that God has for us. We should desire them. But according to this passage and another passage, which I'm not going to read this morning, he says, do all prophesy? Do all heal? Do all speak in tongues? The question is laid out because the obvious answer is no. It's as the Spirit wills that these gifts are given. And this is what's so important, because you can get it all messed up when you start focusing on why we don't have this going on in the church. Why do we not see this happening over here? Why is this not happening? Because we're not getting all the gifts we need, so we got to seek all the gifts. And next thing you know, it becomes all about the gifts. And next thing you know, you're all crazy and chaotic because we're not listening to the Spirit any longer. We're trying to generate something instead of letting the Spirit have the freedom to do it as He wills. So, and we'll continue reading verse 12 there in Corinthians. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into the body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. So 1 Corinthians 12, 25 through 27, that there should be no schism in the body, which is division, by the way, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you're the body of Christ and members individually. And one more passage, Romans 12, 3 through 8. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one measure of faith, a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but not all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in the proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. And he who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So an understanding that all of these gifts are given by the Holy Spirit as He sees fit, as He wills. Once you've received your call, your ministry, your giftings, whatever they are, you're to use them in appropriation to your faith. Which means, going back to the beginning of that passage, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. But in faith, realize this is a gift from God. God, I need to be on my knees with this gift. I don't need to just be going out and rattling it off and using it according to the way I want to use it. It's not mine. It's yours. I'm supposed to be an ambassador for you. I'm supposed to be a servant of yours. I'm supposed to be a willing bondservant. So therefore, what you give me is not for me. It's to go through me and to be ministered to the entire body, all, as we saw and we read earlier, not just me. And this, again, can be a problem because, again, if you start focusing on what you've got, then you start thinking to yourself more highly, well, I've got the gift of prophecy. Let me tell you what's wrong in your life. I've got the gift of tongues. That means I've got to use it every time I come in a group meeting. I've got the gift of knowledge, so therefore I'm going to stand up and share with you what you need to hear. I got the gift of healing, so I'm going to go knock everybody down until they're healed. This is all it's not in balance. That's what I'm trying to say. The gifts are real. The Spirit is real. And God will move according to how He wills. But we need, again, as I mentioned last week, to get out of the way and let Him do it in accordance to Him. And again, getting back to verse 7. So then neither who plants is anything, nor he who waters is anything, but it's God who gives the increase. So if we're willing vessels and the Holy Spirit chooses to use you, it's Him that's going to do the work, not you. He will give the increase as He sees fit. And many times we don't see the fruit, not right away. Sometimes we'll see it instantly. Sometimes it may take a little time, but we still see it. Sometimes God may have you minister to somebody, you may never see them again. So what happened with that? I don't know. But what does the Word say? My Word will not return void. I will accomplish the very purpose for what I sent it to do. He's going to accomplish it. It's always about Him. All things belong to Him. All things are sustained by Him. And until we see ourselves only as humble vessels and willing vessels to be used by Him as He sees fit, we're really not much use at all. We're just a piping horn or a loud cymbal. What is it 1 Corinthians says? Though I may do all of this, I'm nothing more than this, because without love. And we're not talking about the ooey-gooey, lushy feeling of love. We're talking about the agape love, that love that God can pour into us and only He can. We're not born with it, by the way. We're born without it. We have to receive Jesus to receive the agape love. Now, if we receive that agape love, then we should be expressing that agape love. Unconditional. It's a love that we can't really understand, because it doesn't come from our fleshly nature. It comes from God. Now, verses 10 through 15. According to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold and silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. And this is an interesting passage. It appears that our work for the Lord will be judged based on substance, not structure. What's it made out of? What's the foundation? What are you building on, and what are you building with? Now, I want to be clear here. This is not speaking of the great white throne judgment. Believers will not be judged at the great white throne. They're going to be separated. This is not what this is talking about. And that takes place after the 1,000-year reign. But rather, as Christians, the work we're assigned to will be judged. 2 Corinthians 5, 9 through 10. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Now, most believe that this passage is not dealing with non-believers, but believers, which goes hand in hand with what we're reading this morning. Now, I'm not sure exactly when this is going to take place. There may be a specific time after we're all in heaven that God then sits down and judges those works. That may be what happens. That's the judgment seat that we may be talking about. But another thought here is what Paul says regarding being tested by fire. Verse 13, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Now, reading this and studying this, to me it seems it's referring to here and now. Here and now. As we're called to be ministers of the gospel, we're called to be put through the purifier's fire, to be cleansed of all uncleanness. And in order to be an effective servant, He wants to purify us. He wants to clean us up. Notice when you're saved, He doesn't wait for you to get clean before He receives you. He doesn't come. You don't come to the altar and say, Jesus, I believe, I need you. And He says, well, you're not quite ready yet. You go do these things, and then you'll be ready, and then I'll save you. No. For those who come with a broken heart, where the Holy Spirit has convicted them of their sin, and they recognize their sin for what it is, they repent from that sin, they turn to Jesus and believe in Him with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength, they are saved from the law of sin and death. They've been delivered from all of this other stuff. So, in the spiritual realm, they are clean. They are holy. However, we're still left in this fleshly tent, which all these old habits, all these old patterns, all of this old sin that has left scars and wounded us and we've wounded others, all the bad relationships, all the bad fruit, is still all around us. So how do we deal with that? Well, God then brings us through what we call that refiner's fire. He begins to put us in situations to show us, I've delivered you from this, you need to see it for yourself. So he puts us into situations to where we have to then come to him and say, God, I'm still feeling what I used to feel about this person or this situation. And God says, I know, I want you to give that to me. In order for us to be purified, in order for us to be holy, he's got to put us through the fire so all the garbage rises up, he can scrape it off, and what's left is pure. Now, it doesn't all happen in one burning. Unfortunately, I wished it did. I wish we could say, one fire, Lord, bring it now, and let me get it over with. And he says, no, I'm going to put you through what you got to learn right now. But the truth is, in this finite mind of mine, he knows I couldn't receive it all. I'd blow up if I could receive it all in one sitting, so I have to do it in doses. There's a lot there. There's a lot to be purified from, and he's constantly bringing us through those things. He wants to get us prepared for the ministry he's called us for. And many times, I mean, I can, from my own testimony, God called me years and years ago to ministry. He didn't confirm exactly what that was. He just said, I'm going to use you. And I came up with all kinds of ideas thinking what it was. But as he continued to purify and burn off and scrape off and reveal things, he then told me what that ministry is. This is what I want you to do. You're going to plant this church. Now that we've planted this church, he still put me through the fire. He's still removing old teachings that I had 30, 40 years ago that were false teaching that I have to let go of. And I don't mean false teaching that it was going to bring them to hell. It just means they misinterpreted a lot of things that I grew up thinking was true. And I had it all. I went from the cessationist where all the things of God died, the miracles, the gifts, they all died when the apostles died, to where they're all swinging from chandeliers on the other side. I've sat it through all of it. And so what do you do with all that? God, he said, I'm going to give you what you need, and I'm going to teach you, and it ain't going to all happen at one time, and you're going to have people that are going to come that come from all these different backgrounds too, so get ready for that ride. And so here we go. But God's doing the work. Now, 1 Peter 1, 3 through 7 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and what does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Now that is in the process of happening as we speak. This is what he's doing with us, making us incorruptible, undefiled, does not fade away, restored in heaven, but it's reserved in heaven. In other words, we ain't arrived yet. He's still doing the work. And he goes on, verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a little nugget here I want to give you. If you're going through a fire and you're going through a trial, go ahead and start praising him now. Go ahead and lift up your hands and worship the living God that's allowing this fire to come through. And it says here, you can be found to be praising and honoring and glorifying Jesus when he's revealed. Don't sit there and find yourself complaining about the fire you're going through, because it's going to last longer. And I'll tell you what, another little nugget, he'll heat it up hotter for you. Because he wants to burn it off. He wants you to find yourself, as Paul did, content, whether you have a lot, content, whether you have little. Finding yourself at peace with God in the midst of whatever circumstance you're going through. That's what God wants us to, that's where he's taking us. And he's doing that now, right here and right now. And it could be anything in your life. It could be anything that you've you're really struggling with. It could be anything you're really angry about. It could be whatever it is. God is telling you right now, listen, I know this is in your heart. I know you're responding this way, and I know you're angry about it, but here's the thing. Give me praise because I'm still on the throne. I'm doing the work, and I'm going to purify you, and I will change that circumstance when I'm ready to change it. But right now, I am working on you, and this should be the primary focus of every believer. Allow God to work on you and put everybody else aside. Yeah, we pray for them. It's not about them. It's about God doing a work in you so that you can be a willing vessel and you can be used by God and the Holy Spirit then can pour into you the gift and He wants you to have so that you're an effective member of the body of Christ, not just a pew setter that wants to complain because it's not going your way. And we don't have any of those here. Hallelujah. I praise God for that. But we all struggle with different things. So through trials and persecution, our faith and our work is tested through fire. And if we're building upon the gospel of Jesus Christ and His Word, which I believe we can look at that passage Paul said, which is the gold, the silver, and the precious stones, that's the Word of God that we're building upon. That's the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we're building on that, that's the good stuff. But His work will endure. No matter what, but the one bringing the worldly wisdom, the one bringing his own mentality of how to get things done, the one who's looking at how we can reach the whole vast community in one simple swoop by doing this one thing man's way. Let's have a big party. Invite everybody. One time, we were asked to play, some friends of mine, we were asked to play at this little gathering. It was a trailer park down in Ackworth, and it was a really bad area. I mean, most of the trailers should have been condemned. Really bad. So they had these, they would come out, they're giving all these people haircuts, and we had big dinner, we're getting everybody. So they asked us to come play some music. We started doing gospel and Christian music, and a guy started giving testimony, and there was a guy put it together in the back going, "No, no, you cut it out. Don't do that. We're going to push them all away. That's not what we're here for." What? This guy was a Christian. This guy and I had many conversations. This was supposed to be a godly event, but let's take God out of it. So we didn't play any more music that day. The point is that he was coming about it with hay and sticks and building a ministry on that. Let me say this morning, there's a lot of ministries that are strong. They're well built on a strong foundation, and they will endure the fire. But there are many who only look strong on the outside. And beneath the surface, the structure is nothing more than kindling for the coming fire. Verses 16 through 23. Do you not know that you're the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or anything present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Now, this is the first time that Paul refers to us as the temple of the Holy Spirit. The second time is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. He says, Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, this teaching that Paul has given us this morning And this teaching that we're going through here as in the body this morning is for spiritually mature Christians. It's for people who have understanding or desire understanding. We're no longer in control of ourselves. If you think you're in control of your life, doing the things you want to do, accomplishing things the way you want to accomplish them, then you're walking in world's wisdom and you're walking as a fool as far as Christ is concerned. We're not to come to God with those ways and to do all of those things. We're no longer in control of ourselves. We are not our own. Our thoughts, our actions, our speech, our works are now all surrendered to the Lord. It's all about Him. He is our substance. He is the one that's going to use us and to pour into us. We got to empty ourselves of all the other stuff. If we're not willing to do that, I mean, you can't fill you can't be full of the Holy Spirit when you're half full or more full of yourself. He wants to give you all that He desires you to have. He's our provider. He's our healer. He's our everything. He leads us. He guides us. Acts 17:28, in the first part of that verse says, "For in Him we live and move and have our being." We live and move and have our being. That's a surrendered life. That's a surrendered heart. That is not anyone coming in their own will and their own strength and saying, "I got this, Lord." And the last thing you want to do is come to a battle and look over Jesus and say, "Don't worry about this one, I got this one." I don't want to be in that place. And said it many times, if you got the bumper sticker, "Jesus is my co-pilot," you need to change seats. You're in the wrong seat. See, this is foolishness to the world. And even to some young believers who've been caught up in the prosperity movement or the faith movement or whatever, that they believe that all the blessings that they're supposed to get in this world are for right here and now, and I want the blessings. Give me the blessings. Me, me, me. All this stuff about me. If this is the place you find yourselves, then you're not mature. You're still on milk. And God is saying, you got teeth for a reason. You know, babies don't have teeth. Well, they start getting teeth and... Boy, I've had them bite your finger. Ooh. They start getting teeth. And when they start getting teeth, it's time to bring them off that milk a little bit. Those teeth are there for a reason. You're supposed to be digesting the Word of God, meditating on it, feasting upon it, chewing on it. And then it gets into you. And that's why Paul tells us in verses 18 and 19, "Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool so that he can become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God." Now I want to encourage you this morning. Right now we're in an upside down world. And between the government and the media, they think they have wisdom. Their foolishness to God. The decisions that are being made in our government and the way the media plays favorites and plays the game of doing what they want to do and how they want to do it is foolishness to God. It frustrates us. And we can get angry about that. But as we mentioned yesterday, you have to be careful not let your anger be in your own mind, "Oh, this is a righteous anger. They're going against God, therefore I have the right to be angry." Well, there is truth in that, but it also says be angry and sin not. It's not about what we can do to fix the problem. It's about surrendering the whole thing to God. But right now, these that are in power and those that have the control of the media, which is the prince of the power of the air, by the way, Satan himself, because of their knowledge, degrees, because of their little clubs that they have and the power that they have, they appear that they're in control. They're not. and their wisdom is foolishness to God. And it's going to come to nothing. Now again, God has a plan. How he's going to work that plan is up to him. We pray that this corruption is exposed and gone away. But right now, here's the little secret that it's not a secret anymore. Used to be. The truth is that when corruption is exposed, half the people don't care. We're so divided now on this person or that person or this side or that side that when your side is in trouble, it's all corruption. When the other side is in trouble, it's all God. They're all corrupt. It's all corrupt. And we have to come to that point of understanding. Man cannot fix this problem. I don't care who he is or what group it is. Man is not going to fix this problem. So we surrender that to God and understand that when they take their last breath, God has a last word. When we take our last breath, God has the last word. So important that we understand this, because all of this stuff going on around us is foolishness. But it's not appearing foolishness, not to half the people in this country anyway, and not to half the church, if you will count the entire people who claim to be Christians, which most of them aren't. They go to social clubs. They don't go to a true Bible-believing church. And when you have to really take that whole thing and break it down, the church may be a lot smaller than it appears to be as well. That's not for us to determine who is and who isn't. That's for us to say we're responsible that we are in Christ. And whoever else isn't, that's between them and God. But we need to be responsible as believers. So we have to understand God always has the last word. And while it looks as bad as it looks, God is still in control. Hang on to that. That's the biggest encouragement we can have in today's world. Now, Paul gives this final word of wisdom. God gives us men who teach and preach, as well as many other ministers in the body. And they're all gifts to you. They're all yours. What did he say? Paul is yours. Apollos is yours. All of these things are yours. They're yours. When you keep your eyes on Jesus, he gives you these things, these people, these works, whatever it might be, for you to glean from, for you to grow in, for you to be closer to Jesus in. They're all gifts to us. But in all cases, we should never put the gift above the giver. It should never be about a man. It should never be about a doctrine. When we get beyond the gospel of Jesus Christ and that simplicity of that word, that's when it gets dangerous, because men begin to start interpreting things the way they want to interpret them, because of the way they think they understand it. And the next thing you know, they've got a whole division because, oh, this is an absolute. Well, it's not absolute according to the Word of God, but they don't care because they needed an answer, they developed one, and now they're going to make you believe it or try to. And this is why the church is divided the way it is. We all belong to Christ. We're his, and he is in us as he is in the Father, and we are in him as the Father is in us. We have access to it all, but we have to keep our hearts and our minds focused and not allow other things to distract us and pull us away. He will have the last word. He wants to have the last word in us even right now. He wants us to come to him this morning and say, Lord, have the last word. Let me shut up and let me get out of your way so that I'm not messing up anything, that I'm only being obedient to what you're doing. That's what he wants to do in all of us. But we have to be accountable. We're responsible. And when we stand before Jesus as believers, our works will be tested here. But I believe there is that seat that he would say, listen, you know, you did these things, but you were off base on here. That work didn't really pan out because you weren't really walking in me when you were doing that. That was a little bit of hay and straw over here. But he's also going to say, but over here, you've done these things that I called you to do. and you built upon it with the foundation of the Word of God, and it's strong and it is growing because I'm the one that was doing the work through you. And you can go to Revelation and read the letters to the churches. And in those letters it says, listen, I've seen that you've been faithful over here. I've seen your good works over here. I've seen this. But then I also see here you've lost your first love. Or you've allowed the spirit Jezebel in the church. Or you've allowed this thing to happen over here. And these things I hate. So therefore, in those letters he said, turn back to me. Repent. Or else. There's always an or else. He's bringing the church into a true recognition of who he is. And we need to be listening to that. And we need to be respecting that. And we need to be submitting to that. Does that mean we're going to have it all right? No. Does that mean we're going to get every person in here is going to agree with every single thing? No. The one thing about it is I can look in this room right here today and I can tell you there are certain points that if you all sat in the room, you would disagree on. If you listen to me, you'd be all right. But since you don't, no, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But it's not about those things, is it? If you make it about those things and you're going to make that your hill to die on, then you're going to bring division. But if you put Jesus as the forefront and it's all about him, then everything else tends to sit in the background. And you can still have discussions. You can still debate things. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes those discussions are what drives you to the Word to investigate it for yourself. And that's what it should do. Go study it for yourself. Allow the Holy Spirit to bring you. Paul, in one verse, I think it's in Philippians we were reading, and Paul was saying, listen, you should all be in unity with one another, should all have these things, and if you disagree with this, even the Lord will even bring you to believe in it at some point. I'm paraphrasing. Because, again, if you're seeking him, he will bring you truth. And those other things will just be put aside. Because it doesn't matter anymore. And all of these questions and all these thoughts and all these things that we have, when we meet Jesus, they're not going to matter anymore. Because we're going to be free from all of this finite mental garbage and baggage that we have. He will always have the last word. Let's let him have it today. Let's die to ourselves today. Let's give it to him today. Father, we come to you and we do thank you that you are on the throne. No matter what we see with our eyes, no matter what we hear with our ears, no matter what power people think they have, in this world, you reign supreme. And though it may not appear so at this moment, it is happening and it is going to happen and it is going to be a revelation to all. For every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Even those in power today who think they've got it all together, they will bow before you. My prayer, Lord, that they find you today. Even those that we dislike in government, even those that we despise because of the evil and the corruption, we give them to you and we pray for them and ask, Lord, even them, that you would save their hearts and their souls from themselves and from Satan himself. For many in power have sold themselves to the devil. They've given themselves over completely. But Lord, according to what I understand in Scripture, until they take their last breath, there's still hope. So I pray for them. I pray for them. We pray for our enemies. We pray for those who would bring harm to us, for those who are against the church of the living God, for those who are trying to destroy what you are and who you are and persecuting your church. Lord, I pray for them. Paul was persecuting your church. You saved him. So, Lord, we come. We give it all to you. But for us personally, we give ourselves to you. That you, O Lord, use us the way you see fit. Give us what we need, nothing more. Let us not try to take anything more that you haven't given us. Let us not try to build something that's not yours. But you give the increase. We just want to be servants. Have your last word in us today. Thank you, Lord. We praise you and we thank you. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Ladies, you will have a Bible study Saturday here, 10 o'clock, I believe. I talked to Marcia this morning, so this coming Saturday. Don't have the new calendar up yet. It'll be up here this week. And then starting next month, we're going to go back to our second and fourth Wednesday Bible study. So if you can make it out to that, we're going to be picking those back up again. We're still not going to be doing a first Wednesday or a fifth Wednesday, but the second and fourth. And then the third would be the prayer night. So we're going to pick those back up starting in September. If you can make it, it'll be on the calendar when you come back and see that. And take a picture of it and keep it in your phone. So, because that's where you'll find everything, right? It's all in your phone. So God bless.
God's word, we have praised Him in song. We have shared sweet fellowship a few moments long as we leave this place. In Jesus' tender care, we will share His love with people everywhere. May God keep us till we gather here, or we meet in the air.
We have heard God's word, we have praised Him in song, we have shared sweet fellowship a few moments long as we leave this place. In Jesus' tender care, we will share His love with people.